Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a common thing in the world of politics to be generous with other people's money. It's one of the chief principles of socialism. Why do politicians like to be so generous with other people's money? And why do people often support it? It's theft, after all, according to God's commandments. Well, it's done out of greed for personal gain, usually to purchase the favor and often the votes of those who receive the money. But if nothing else, it's because it makes people feel good about themselves to help other people while not having to sacrifice anything of their own in order to do it. Such is human nature. Now that's unjust. That's unrighteous. As I said, it's a form of stealing in God's sight, whether or not it's legal according to human laws, but in a very worldly sort of way. It's rather shrewd, or in a sense wise, for politicians to do it, because it works. It doesn't make the world a better place, it isn't morally right, but it does tend to keep that person in power, to keep that person with a job in politics. Politicians do it time and time again, because time and time again, it works. The parable Jesus told in today's gospel from Luke chapter 16 is actually pretty similar to that scenario. Jesus tells of an unjust steward who had done a terrible, sloppy job at managing his master's wealth, but who then decided in a moment of personal crisis that it was in his own best interests to be generous with his master's money, essentially to rob from his master in order to purchase the favor of the people who owed money to his master. And his plan worked. It paid off. Not only were the debtors indebted now to him for that favor, but even his master commended his shrewdness. Finally, this steward wasn't just haphazardly spending money and keeping the books. Now he was using his master's wealth to gain something for himself, at least, by helping other people. Now, Jesus does not want his disciples to be unjust. He doesn't want us to be like that unjust steward in mismanaging our master's wealth. Nor does he want us to rob from the rich to give to the poor. He doesn't want us to be generous with other people's money. To be sure, he doesn't want us to do anything for self-serving reasons. But he makes his point clear at the end of today's gospel. The sons of this age, that is, the unbelieving in this world, are wiser toward their own generation than are the sons of the light. In other words, Jesus wants us as the children of the light, as believing Christians, to learn a lesson from the unjust children of this age, a lesson from unbelievers, because they often act more deliberately with their wealth for earthly gain than Christians do for heavenly gain. So he wants us to learn this one lesson from how unrighteous unbelievers behave, to think about and plan carefully how we use the wealth God has lent to us, and to realize that God wants us to use it for the benefit of others, especially other Christians, which will also benefit us in the end. Let's make some comparisons between the unjust steward situation and our own, so that we can reevaluate our stewardship as children of the light. And when I say reevaluate, I mean constantly. That's why this text occurs in our lectionary every year on the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Not as a plea for more offerings for the church or for a helicopter for the pastor to use, but for us to reevaluate the task God has given us as Christians to use our wealth for his priorities. The steward in the parable was working for a rich man. He had no wealth of his own. His job was to be a good steward of his master's wealth, to manage it diligently, honestly, and faithfully for the benefit of the rich man's business. You and I should recognize that we also work for someone. We have no wealth that is actually our own. I think you all know that, but being reminded of it is worthwhile because it's not at all how the world views things. We acknowledge God to be the creator and still the owner of all things. Even the things we've earned with our own hard work, with our own hands, still belong to God. As the psalm says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. And so we are stewards. We are managers of all the things God has given us or granted us to have, whether much or little. He expects us to manage his wealth wisely, diligently, honestly, and faithfully, and thoughtfully, and deliberately. But the steward in the parable wasn't diligent at all, not in the beginning. He squandered his master's wealth in a way that helped no one. Can that be said about you? Does your household budget reflect God's priorities? Do you even have a budget? Or do the bills just dictate where most of the dollars go, while the rest just sort of trickle away on unimportant things? Well, that haphazard, lazy, purposeless stewardship got the steward in the parable in big trouble with his boss. He was about to lose his job because of it, but he was given a little time to get the records in order to present them to his master. So finally, when his life depended on it, when he knew that he wasn't able to do the manual labor that might earn him a wage, and he was too ashamed to beg for his daily bread, he finally started to take the management of his master's wealth seriously. Not to benefit his Lord's business, but entirely for his own benefit, not by stealing the money for himself, but by lessening the financial burden of his master's debtors, so that they might like him, so that they might help him out and take him in after he lost his job, so that they might welcome him into their homes after that mean rich man fired him. Except that he wasn't fired at the end of Jesus' parable. Instead, his Lord finally saw some skill in that unjust steward, some shrewdness, some thoughtfulness, some purpose. And he actually commended the steward for it. Maybe he could be an asset to the rich man's business after all. Now, this is a rather unique parable. Why does Jesus want us to study the bad example of an unrighteous, unjust person that he put into this story? Well, it isn't all that uncommon in Scripture to do this. Today's epistle made that clear from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. St. Paul pointed the Corinthian Christians to several bad examples of the Israelites in the Old Testament that were recorded in Holy Scripture in order to warn present-day Christians not to become complacent, not to take God's grace for granted, not to fall into the same traps that previous generations had fallen into, not to become so assured of your salvation that you stop listening to God's direction. That's what the Israelites did, and it went very badly for them, as Paul outlines in the epistle. But God uses that bad example for the good purpose of keeping his children humble and penitent and focused on his word. Again, Jesus' words at the end of the parable make it clear why he uses the bad example of the unjust steward. The sons of this age are wiser toward their own generation than are the sons of the light. He's talking to the sons of the light. He's talking to his own disciples, it tells us. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who believe in him and are counted among the sons of the light, whose sins have been forgiven, who stand righteous before God by faith in Jesus, who are beloved children of God on the path to spending eternity with him in paradise. But he knows that we have not been perfected yet. In fact, that won't happen until we slough off this sinful flesh. And he knows that our sinful flesh is always turned inward, not turned toward serving God, and not turned toward serving our neighbor either. And he also knows that wealth and earthly possessions are one of the biggest temptations and pitfalls for his people, so that even penitent and believing Christians often forget that we are stewards of God's possessions. We often forget that God has priorities outlined for us in his word for the wealth that he's placed into our hands, even the wealth that is our time. And that one of his top priorities is helping other people through this life, especially our fellow Christians. And yes, we should be convicted by Jesus' words for not even being as shrewd as unbelievers are in being generous with other people's money. We have been called to be generous not with other people's wealth, but with God's wealth, with all the wealth that God has placed into our hands, to think carefully about how we might use it to make friends for ourselves. I say to you, Jesus says, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, so that when you become destitute, they may welcome you into the eternal dwellings. Mammon, worldly wealth, is not evil in and of itself, but it's often used for evil, unrighteous purposes. Hear the Lord Jesus teaching you today, his disciples, to direct the wealth that he's put into your hands for the benefit of others, for things that will last past the destruction of this world into eternity, because you can't take it with you when you go. But the Christians who have been helped by you will remember that help even after this life, as you will remember those who have helped you. They won't be the gatekeepers deciding whether or not to let you into heaven. The only way to be saved and to enter into God's kingdom is by faith in Christ Jesus and his righteousness and his death on the cross for your sins and the free forgiveness he extends to all who trust in him. But the citizens of heaven who received God's help by your hand will not be ungrateful in the heavenly mansions, even if their gratitude isn't evident here on earth. Your use of God's wealth will solidify those friendships for eternity. Isn't that incentive enough to be intentional and deliberate and generous with the wealth you've been given to manage, knowing that it not only fosters eternal friendships, but that it pleases God, whose wealth you manage and whose child you are, who sees in you someone who could yet be an asset to his eternal business. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.